This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. As rain continues to fall throughout southeastern Texas from Hurricane Harvey, federal aid workers are still assisting West Virginians struggling after flooding this July in the northern part of the state. Glennis Board reports.
Thomas Kempton is a public information specialist with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. While many of his colleagues are either en route or already in Texas, he was dispatched late last week from his home in Anchorage, Alaska, to Marshall and Wetzel counties to help communities hard hit by flooding a month ago.
We're here in McMeekin, West Virginia. This is the Marshall County Disaster Recovery Center. It is in the Bishop Donahue High School. And we have representatives both the Small Business Administration, we have representatives from FEMA, and we also have specialists that can help you with mitigation.
Kempton also came to West Virginia last summer after June flooding left 23 dead and devastated homes and communities. While the 2016 floods were more extensive, he says some aspects of recovering communities here look very similar.
What strikes me about West Virginia in particular is the resiliency of the people. These are people that are used to relying on their neighbors. They're used to pulling together as a community. I remember going up into one area and talking to some people, and they were having problems with their documentation. It was difficult to find a deed or other kind of legal documents because they were sixth generation living in the same area. So, and often in different parts of the country, you don't see that kind of solidarity and cohesiveness in the communities that you do in West Virginia. People here really reach out and help each other.
The flip side of self-reliance is that people sometimes resist accepting help. Kempton says that can be very dangerous with threats like mold and an oncoming winter. So far this year, FEMA reports 592 disaster assistance registrations statewide. $1.5 million in assistance has been approved. More than a million has already been distributed to community members. Here in Marshall County, more than $350,000 has been given out, the majority for housing claims. U.S. Small Business Administration specialists are also registering local residents, organizations, and businesses. FEMA grants are limited to about $30,000 max, but residents could qualify for low-interest loans to help replace personal items or damage that isn't covered by insurance or FEMA, or even economic disruptions from the flood. The deadline to apply for those loans is October 17th. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glennis Board in McMeekin.
You can find out more about applying for aid online at wvpublic.org. As part of our Struggle to Stay series, we're now going to hear the next story about 37-year-old Crystal Snyder. Last time we found out that Crystal, a non-traditional student, was in her first semester of college while also working 33 hours a week for a job training program called Refresh Appalachia. Last summer was an especially stressful time for Crystal and her son, Aaron, as Roxy Todd reports.
All right, next we are going to go to Mount West Community and Technical College, and I'm going to go to the tutoring lab and submit an essay that was due last week and start a rough draft for another one. We're going to go there a little bit early before my class starts at 1 and hopefully get that finished.
Last summer was an especially stressful time for Crystal, and by August, things got worse. Roxy Todd reports.
Last year, Crystal's 18-year-old son, Aaron, left home unexpectedly. It began with a heated argument.
We had a little bit of a falling out. I think I was demanding a lot.
Crystal says she was putting pressure on Aaron to improve his grades in school. He was about to start his senior year in high school. She also wanted him to help more around the house. Remember, she's been going to school and working full-time, so she's been having a rough time cooking and cleaning at home.
I was wanting him to help and just sort of demanding that he do things around the house and help me with his sister. And so he said something really disrespectful. And I told him to leave, and he did. It ripped my heart out because I don't feel like he's at a safe place. And if something happened to him, then I would just like never forgive myself, you know?
Aaron didn't answer her calls, and she didn't hear from him for weeks after he left. She knew he was staying with his dad, her ex-husband, but she was still worried.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing and, you know, what he's eating and if he's around secondhand smoke. Like, just all of those things that go through a mother's head.
Then, in mid-June, about 9 weeks after they had their falling out, Aaron's stepbrother was killed in a go-kart accident. Aaron came home after that. Crystal recorded this entry at their small home in Ona while she was cooking him a burrito and listening to a Philip Glass CD.
Aaron is taking a nap and came to visit me, so I wanted to feed him. And it's raining.
She steps on the porch for a minute to watch the rain.
Wow. That was lightning and thunder in Ona.
Things got better between Crystal and her son, but she could tell he was having trouble with the death of his stepbrother. He was quiet, and she could tell he was hurting. Also, every time she mentioned school, he changed the subject. She eventually found out that he dropped out of high school.
So, he had to do really well this year to pass, to graduate. And he lost his stepbrother in June, and it was just not, it wasn't possible this year for him to do perfect, get, you know, pass everything to be able to graduate. So, here we are, and that's okay. But I would be lying if I said, well, no, I'm not going to say I worry. Worry is not a good thing. I just want a happy life. I want my son to be secure. I want to be secure and stable. I want to do that so I can extend that to them, to my children, to my community. I just want to be self-sustainable, self-reliant. Oh.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:51. Mostly cloudy skies today, a chance of rain with highs in the 60s and 70s. Cloudy skies tonight with a chance of rain, lows in the 50s and 60s. Partly sunny tomorrow with highs in the 70s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. Now we'll continue with our ongoing series, The Struggle to Stay. We go back to August 2016, which was one of the toughest months for 37-year-old Crystal Snyder had ever faced. Parenting, work, and school stress that she'd been dealing with for months finally got to be too much. That's where Roxy Todd picks back up with Crystal's story.
Then, things got more stressful at work. Remember those squash plants she was planting in July? Well, heavy rains washed away most of the seeds that she'd sown. She recorded this next entry when she was working until dusk to replant.
I just got here in Milton to the farm to reseed some squash that was supposed to have been done last week.
She was halfway through replanting the seeds when she left for vacation. She'd been planning it for a few weeks now. Well, it was kind of a working vacation. Here's something I haven't told you about Crystal. During the last presidential election, she was head over heels for Bernie Sanders. She felt like he was the first politician who understood her struggle.
These politicians are on the side of the greedy corporate billionaires, the 1%, while people like me can't pay their rent and buy food.
For the first time, Crystal had someone to root for as a politician, and it was important for her to attend the Democratic National Convention and volunteer for the Sanders campaign. So in July, she was given 3 days off work on the farm to go to Philadelphia. But once she was in Philadelphia, the people she was getting a ride home with said they planned on staying till Friday, the same day she was supposed to be at work. She didn't call or text her boss, but she did send a message.
I sent an email late Wednesday night, about midnight, Thursday morning. I was due to be back at work Thursday. I said, I'm sorry. I can't make it. I can't make it in the rest of the week.
When she came back, her boss, Ben, asked why she didn't just call or text. Crystal remembers being frustrated with the question, and it turned into a bit of an argument.
You know what? I was in Philadelphia fighting, like, for our democracy, our freedom. They cut me some slack. And that's pretty much what I said, and I think that they're more upset about my attitude about it than even the actual aspect of me emailing instead of calling in. So yesterday they told me that I was beyond like a probationary period.
Her bosses said if she was late or didn't show up for work again, then she would be terminated. The threat of losing her job, combined with the trouble she was having with her son, her intense disappointment that Bernie Sanders lost the primaries, and the pressure of having to replant the entire squash field in the midst of everything else, it was too much stress.
I'm not sleeping, and I'm having, like, chest pain, and just so much pressure. I feel so alone.
She tried to call her sister, her only family member she's close to, but she couldn't get a hold of her.
It would just be really nice if there were, like, a mother or a father, or grandparent, or an aunt or uncle or someone that I could just, like, I could just hug and, like, that would just tell me it's gonna be okay. But there's not. It's like I'm the one that has to lift everybody else up, and like I like doing that for people, but sometimes I just need somebody to be that person for me.
The next morning, Crystal had to go to a special meeting with her bosses and talk about what would happen next. We'll hear more about that next time. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Roxy Todd in Cabell County, West Virginia.
Next week, we'll hear the conclusion to Crystal Snyder's struggle to stay here on West Virginia Morning. Or you can catch the next installment on the next episode of the Inside Appalachia podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Downcast, or wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Marshall University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Dave Mistich. I'm Teresa Wills.